From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will continue a series on the lives and ministries of the Apostles of Christ. We hope you will find the messages to be encouraging and helpful as you see how God can use ordinary people in the work of His kingdom. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought from Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening, followed by some beautiful sacred music. This morning's text is found in Psalm 119 and verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Whatever your special need may be, you may readily find some promise in the Bible suited to it. Are you faint and feeble because your way is rough and you are weary? Here is the promise. He giveth power to the faint. When you read such a promise, take it back to the great promiser and ask him to fulfill his own word. Are you seeking after Christ and thirsting for closer communion with him? This promise shines like a star upon you. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Take that promise to the throne continually. Do not plead anything else, but go to God over and over again with this. Lord, thou hast said it. Do as thou hast said. Are you distressed because of sin, and burdened with the heavy load of your iniquities? Listen to these words. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions, and will no more remember thy sins. You have no merit of your own to plead why he should pardon you, but plead his written engagements, and he will perform them. Are you afraid lest you should not be able to hold on to the end? Lest, after having thought yourself a child of God, you should prove a castaway? If that is your state, take this word of grace to the throne and plead it. The mountains may depart, and the hills may be removed, but the covenant of my love shall not depart from thee. If you have lost the sweet sense of the Savior's presence, and are seeking Him with a sorrowful heart, remember the promises, Return unto me, and I will return unto you. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Banquet your faith upon God's own word, and whatever your fears or wants, repair to the bank of faith with your Father's note of hand, saying, Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope.
Quiets my heart. as we see glimpses of truth you have for me. For in your word I find the truth that sets me free.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, let The Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Judas Iscariot, the man who kissed but missed Christ, the last in this series of studies of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is difficult to comprehend how Judas, whom the Lord Jesus personally chose to be one of his disciples, could have become the man whose very name is identified with treachery. How could Judas have walked with Christ for 3 years, have listened to his preaching, seen his miracles, and yet have betrayed the Savior to the chief priests for 30 pieces of silver? In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will sound a note of warning to those who profess Christianity, but in whose hearts there is no love for the Savior. Like Judas, they love their sin, and who, unless they repent, will share Judas's doom in a lost eternity. Now, with the next portion of this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
It's a sobering thing. Judas Iscariot was there when the Lord Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. And he washed Judas's feet. Judas Iscariot was there when they sat down in the upper room for the Passover meal. It was at that meal when the Lord Jesus was greatly moved in his spirit. He looked around his disciples and he said, "One of you shall betray me." You can imagine the consternation that was there in the 12. Peter didn't immediately get up and say, "I would never do that." No, every one of them was smitten with a deep sense of awe. And one after another they said, "Lord, is it I?" Every man looked into the depths of his heart and began to examine his own profession of allegiance to Jesus Christ. And they wondered, is it possible that I, who have walked with him and talked with him and spoken for him and done miracles in his name, is it possible that I, who have just seen him wash our feet and instruct us in the humility of service, is it possible that I would betray him? And even Judas looked Christ squarely in the eyes, and with the innocence of a child, apparently, he said, "Lord, is it I?" The Lord Jesus, of course, on that occasion said that he to whom I shall give the sup or the morsel when I have dipped it, he it is. Would appear to me that as they were reclining at table, they did recline in those days. John was on Christ's right hand. Significantly, Judas was on his left hand. John would have heard. He told Peter, but it appears to me that the rest of the company had no idea what was going on. And after the sup, mark that, for as the Lord leads, I'll have something more to say in that. After the sup, Satan entered into him, took a complete grip of him, and in possession of all his faculties and energies, drove him on to the ultimate decision. Jesus said, "What thou doest, do quickly." And Judas Iscariot did just that. With the Master, the disciples made their way to Gethsemane. What a journey that must have been across the brook Kidron, to the slopes of Olivet, to that quiet garden which even to this day is one of the most peaceful and beautiful spots on God's earth. What a time as the Lord Jesus expounded to them what we have in John 14, 15, 16, 17. But all the time, Judas was working. As the Lord Jesus prayed with great drops of blood pouring through the skin, dropping to the ground, Judas was marshaling his forces and marching them to that honored spot where he had often gone alone with Christ to pray. And at last they meet in the darkness of Gethsemane. The Jewish leaders were in a bit of a fix. They had often sought to lay hands on Christ and they couldn't. As far as they were concerned, he simply had a way of getting out of their grasp. They didn't understand that his hour had not yet come. They, on a human level, wanted to be able to take him apart from the crowd when he was preaching. They knew how the people responded to the preaching. So they wanted him at a time when they could lay their hands upon him, they could lay their charges against him, they could whip up their crowd against him and present it all as a finished case. And Judas Iscariot sold himself to do just that. In the dirtiest, darkest act that any fallen son of Adam ever committed, Judas Iscariot came into the garden. Remember, Christ had just come from at least three long hours of mighty praying and interceding. Remember that his blood was caked upon his face. The face of Jesus Christ was already beginning to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah that he looked as no man before or since has ever looked. It was a blood-stained face that Judas saw. And yet with brazenness he came, "Hail, Master." And he took the blood of Jesus Christ upon his lips. He kissed him and turned him over to his foes. We have read tonight how the machinery of persecution ground into action. And as Judas saw it, regret began to set in. I want you to see him as a demented soul. It dawns upon him exactly what he has done. The scales fall from off his eyes. There's now no doubt in his mind. There's not the slightest hesitation now in recognizing the enormity of his crime. Rushing back to the chief priests, he hurls their money before them. He says, "I have betrayed the innocent blood." And he hears something from the chief priests that many a sinner has heard from the worldly crowd. What is that to us? It's not our business. Your trouble doesn't trouble us, Judas. Your anguish means nothing to us, Judas. See thou to that. Feeling his awful guilt, Judas knew what it was to have remorse just envelop and overwhelm his soul. At that time, Judas Iscariot felt that he was beyond redemption. I have no doubt that at that time, Judas Iscariot felt that he had no right to live. And there's something here that I'll only mention. I don't want to pursue it. But I want you to see it very clearly. After the shop the devil had entered into him, the devil had driven him on, the devil had perverted every law of logic to make it clear to Judas that this is what he ought to do. He had opened up the way before Judas, and then he had driven him along that way. Now the devil who had led him on in his career of sin fans the fire of hopelessness and of depression. And the very devil who made it easy for him to sin now torments him with the thought of the enormity of his sin and the guilt of his sin and makes him feel the worthlessness of his being, makes him indeed know that he's a candidate for hell. At last, Judas Iscariot could stand it no longer. Earlier, with the ill-gotten gains of the money he had stolen, he had bought a little farm holding. I say that because if you study Acts chapter 1 very carefully, you'll discover that what Judas bought is not what the high priest and his crowd bought. They bought a field. He bought a farm, what we would call a place. And with that ill-gotten gain, he had purchased this farm holding. So to there he went and committed suicide. And so overwrought was Judas Iscariot that he couldn't even succeed in his attempt at hanging himself. In some way his body either broke the rope, slipped from the rope or whatever, and fell some distance headlong and smashed to pieces on the rocks below. There are two terrible footnotes to this story. One is spoken in John 12 of the time when Judas left the presence of Christ after he had given him the supper. We read, "And it was night." And then Peter says that when he died, he went to his own place. And in my mind, those two statements come together to paint a dark and tragic picture of the doom and the gloom of Judas Iscariot. He went out to his own place. He went out into the night. Such is the story of Judas Iscariot, the man who kissed but missed the Lord Jesus Christ. There are just three things that I want to say about Judas tonight as we highlight his story. First, I want to talk to you about Judas's sin. You see, it would be wrong to think that this is a man who's in hell because of one sin. Merely one sin. Now, that was an enormous sin and certainly a sin that would damn a whole world. But Judas's career in sin goes a way back. We'll note, first of all, that his sin was that he despised great privileges. When you read the story of Judas Iscariot, and you see him there among the 12, the question that naturally comes to your mind is, why did the Lord Jesus ever choose him? Certainly the Savior was not deceived in him, because from the beginning, we are told, he knew who it was who would betray him. So he was never deceived in Judas. So why did he ever choose Judas in the first place? People like John Calvin have no hesitation in taking the Scripture very literally. For the Scripture tells us that this was done that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. We can never get away from the sovereign purpose of God in any of these things. But there are certainly much more immediate reasons. Why did the Lord Jesus choose a Judas? Well, I think that there's certainly truth in this, that he did so deliberately to complete the full cycle of his own sufferings. You remember the psalmist back in the 55th Psalm? The psalmist David speaks about Ahithophel, the man who was his boon companion and his close friend, who turned against him, who came with words that were as smooth as butter, but all the time they were drawn swords. Well, now here is the greater David. According to Zechariah 13 and verse 6, he is wounded in the house of his friends. And the Lord Jesus opens his heart to that greatest of all disappointments and discouragements, the betrayal of a friend upon whom you have lavished the greatest of your love.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.